Hello and welcome to Poogie TV podcast episode 69. Nice. This is our first podcast in almost a year, and the first podcast we're doing since the new form has been launched. Part of an overall effort by myself, Andrex, to kind of inject some life into the community. And tonight we have Chad or SBF 717. Say hi, Chad.
Hi.
And Malice or Joel, as he's known. Say hi, Malice.
Howdy.
Cool. So we have a kind of a stripped down lower amount of people tonight, which is fine. I've said a couple times that I want to keep these episodes kind of like, half an hour, more easily digestible, that you're able to, just I have an hour, half an hour free, let's put this on, that kind of thing. So I guess to start off, what has everybody been playing? Chad, you should start, since I think this is like one of the segments you recommended.
Yeah, so, I just finished up Infamous Second Son. It was okay. But the main thing that I've been playing is I've been playing the Ratchet and Clank remaster. It came out in 2015 for PlayStation 4. It's really cool. It's not like the PlayStation 3 HD collection, which was just up-res textures and resolutions. They totally remade the game from the ground up. They even put in weapons that weren't in the original game. The most notable one is the Groovatron, which is this disco ball that you throw out and it makes all the enemies dance, including the bosses.
I think I've seen a video of that. It's incredible.
Yeah. And on their podcast, which was the Full Moon Show, like way back when, they talked about how it was like really difficult for them because they had to add in all these animations for every single enemy to make them all dance, and they all dance like differently.
Yeah, that's got to be a lot of work. Sony's been on like a full remake kick lately, even though I don't know if anybody's like asked them to, like the Shadow of the Colossus. I remember that getting announced and people were like, "Oh, thanks."
Yeah, and it's kind of embarrassing. I own Shadow of the Colossus on PlayStation 2. I actually bought it and Resident Evil 4 in the same month. I think it came out in the same month. Played about three Colossi, I stopped. I own it on PlayStation 3, same thing. Played about three Colossi and stopped. So maybe eventually I'll get it for PlayStation 4 and actually finish the game.
Maybe, yeah, maybe whatever like quality of life improvements they added will do it for you.
Yeah, like I heard that they fixed the controls in Shadow, but I've heard some people were still complaining that they weren't modern enough. So it seems like they just made it a little less janky, but they didn't like.
Well, you have the purists, who are like, you can't change anything,
Yeah, I'm having flashbacks to Resident Evil 5 and people who were saying like they desperately were like, I don't want to play like Gears of War. Like Resident Evil shouldn't play like Gears of War, and it's all like, yeah, but Resident Evil could play a little bit better. And I still didn't actually like the girls in Resident Evil 5, but one of the best co-op games ever made. I love that game because of the co-op.
Yeah, well, that was their focus for that game, for better or for worse. It's kind
Yeah. And I
of a.
still think it's one of the best looking games of last generation. Like
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
the lighting, the textures, just like everything about that game just looks so pretty,
Right.
despite it being this gross like zombie game and you're
Right.
shooting zombies in the head.
Mostly desaturated, but yeah, I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, it had like its own style. It's kind of like it's like that and Metal Gear Solid 4 are like one of those two games where I kind of feel like they have like this very distinct style that like I really appreciated.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's a shame that like Resident Evil 6 shat the bed so hard, and they had to start over with Resident Evil 7. I think it was Yahtzee or something. I watched his video on RE7 a while ago, and he was like, "I guess this is just what Capcom does with Resident Evil, you know, stagnates for a game or two, and then they just completely re-change everything in the series, you know.
Yeah, it would be interesting if they go back to top down, like for Resident Evil 8.
Well, allegedly, I mean, they announced it, but allegedly they're making a RE2 remake, and we don't know what style that's going to be.
Yeah, well, they announced it so long ago, it must be something major that they're doing.
Or they're Square Enixing the entire thing. At least we're getting a lot of progress on Kingdom Hearts 3. I laughed, a lot of people laughed when they announced that, now in development, with just the logo, and we're all like, okay, come on. But they actually do seem to be making progress on it.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about that game, because it seems like it's much more open world, and I'm a little bit worried about how it's going to be open world but still be interesting, because Square Enix doesn't really seem to have a lot of experience in making like these big open world games. So
that's true, but I've only played a couple of the spin-offs, but I've seen a lot of videos of like Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. Kingdom Hearts 2 onward never really had good level design, I don't think. It was just kind of like these large open areas where you kill a bunch of Heartless or whatever and then move on to the next one, basically.
Yeah, and that might have been fine in like 06, but like the world has changed a lot.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. Like, if Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out this year, you know, God willing or whatever, let's say it comes out this year, the target audience was born after Kingdom Hearts 2 released.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of mind-blowing to me, you know? Although, who knows, maybe their target audience now is, like, longtime fans of the series who grew up with it, because they did... They are making, you know, Riku and Sora much older.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Malice, what have you been playing lately?
I'm going to drop a couple of comments on what y'all were talking about for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
I had the same struggle when I played through Shadow of the Colossus. The first time I got a few Colossi in and just petered out on it until a friend sat me down and just said, you will play the rest of this game and you will start doing it right now. And yeah, once you get over that's just a hump. Once you get over that, the rest of the game is great. You just, I don't know, I guess there's just some sort of hump that just stumbles everybody up. And yeah, I can't keep up with all the Kingdom Hearts games. I stopped trying. they keep popping up at GDQs, and I'm just like, oh, it's Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix plus the sequel 12. I don't know.
I was going to say, I've watched like 30-minute long videos on YouTube trying to explain the Kingdom Hearts story. And even after watching the videos, I still can't comprehend what the hell is going on.
There's this, hold on, I'm going to, you posted 2005 for Kingdom Hearts 2, but I remember in the US it was 2006.
Oh, was? I just looked at the first date that popped up on the Wikipedia article.
But there is the, I don't know if you saw this, Chad, but the NeoGAF import thread for Birth by Sleep. I've actually become good friends with the guy who made that topic, and it's so sublime. I'm going to post it in the group chat right now. Just let me go find it.
All right, while you do that, I'll do my now playing. I just wrapped up the story for my first playthrough of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. It was long, as Xenoblade games tend to be. It's pretty great. They've all been solid so far. Definitely has a lot more in common thematically and mechanically with the first game rather than Chronicles X. Where Chronicles X was more... It's focused... Like, it had the story, but its more focus was explore the world and see all the cool stuff. Whereas 1 and 2 are definitely more... You know, follow the narrative, but along the way, see all the cool world. There's just less focus on like giant landmarks and stuff than there was in Chronicles X. But that was a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoyed it. There are minor qualms I have, which I kind of have with the series in general. mainly in the enemies tend to be just giant hit point bags. And it's like, okay, I figured out this boss, and now I'm going to sit here for another 5 minutes whacking at it until it finally dies. But otherwise, that was great. I will eventually start working on it. The post games in Xenoblade games have tended to be a bit grindier than I like, and like not the fun kind of grindy. Just wow, I'm going to kill this guy 40 times so I can hopefully pick the right piece of equipment. Chronicles X was terrible as far as its post game grinding. It was awful. Like I played tons and tons of hours in that game, and I got to the post game, and I was like, nothing. I'm done with this game now. It's time to move on.
I feel like you can confirm this to me. I only played a little bit of the first game, but it seems like they lost sight of what the appeal of the first game was, because that was like, it was like celebrated as like, oh, the best JRPG in half a decade, you know, that kind of thing. And I think, I mean, it appealed to me as like a non heavy JRPG gamer, because it was like, it cut out a lot of the anime cliche drama. The character designs were a little more westernized and relatable. Yeah. And the world was, I mean, what they were able to pull off on the Wii is just incredible, you know? So yeah, I don't know if that's, I mean, I've seen a lot of the trailers for 2, and they just went way into that like Xenoverse style of character design.
Well, you have, you know, your main characters, and you have the sort of accompanying, you know, they call blades, which is sort of give your characters their abilities. And, you know, all they have generic blades, which you just are there. You use them if you have no other options. And then there's a secondary mechanic of the game where they actually are useful. But your rare blades are the ones where, you know, they have unique designs, like your main characters. The designs tend to be in 3 different groups. They're either like just interesting, they're really cool, or wow, that was a ridiculously and obnoxious design. Like there's some that you look at and you're just like, who thought that was a good design? It's like there's one, it literally, it's just like, if you'd have picked one of the 5 themes in this character's design, you could have had an interesting character. But no, you mush together 5 different things. Now this character is painful to look at. But there's definitely a lot of, especially like when you get to the end of chapter, beginning of chapter stuff during the story, there's the game goes real anime. it goes real stylish.
I'm sure. I mean, that definitely appeals to people. And if it does, you know, I'm not saying it's bad or anything. But the reason it, you know, this entire localize this game campaign was started was because, you know, it tried to appeal more to Western sensibilities. I don't know. That's just what I think.
I would say it's probably a little less, definitely a little less Western than Xenoblade 1, but I wouldn't say that it's far enough gone, unless you really don't like the anime influence. Like if that really bothers you, you're going to struggle with this game much more so than the first. Like there's just a lot of tropey kind, like somewhat tropey kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff you expect from watching anime. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you watch a lot of anime, you're kind of used to a lot of that stuff. And so it may not stand out as much, or at least it may not bother you as much, but there's definitely a lot of stuff, especially in design decisions, like aesthetic design and character design, where you're just like, was that really necessary? I mean, I can tolerate it. I'm okay with it, but I don't know if you had to go quite that far.
So, but you would say you enjoyed that game.
I think my save file is around 100 hours or so.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of time to play games. So I have a lot of time to kind of dick around on side quests and wandering around. Mm. But I'm cooling my jets. So I'm weaning myself off that now, and I'm wrapping up SteamWorld Dig 2, and I'm tinkering around with Splasher, as they were both on sale on the eShop right now. So I was like, yeah, I'll take, you know, $10 off them combined and go ahead and get them.
I just remembered what you were saying about Xeno 2. I mean, I don't think like the anime stuff wouldn't really bother me. It's a little off-putting at first. Like I wish like it would have been different, but honestly, the only reason I wouldn't play the game is because it's so long.
Yeah, it's gonna you. It's a commitment. Like
Yeah.
there's no getting around that. I mean, even if you push straight through the story, I mean, you're still looking probably minimum 40, 50.
Yeah. I mean, 40-50, yeah, that's like kind of the high end, but I also like to do side quests, so it would be way longer than that. But I just remember I got Tales of the Abyss a couple years ago for 3DS because Ryan, no there, spoke very highly of it, and I came around to it after a while. The characters grew on me, but the first 10 to 20 hours of that game, I was just like, oh my God, I hate fucking everybody in this game. And this is like a bad anime plot. And the gameplay is not that bad, but it's not amazing either. But then the thing with Tales of the Abyss is, spoiler, there's like this big thing that happens in the middle of the game that changes it and makes certain characters more likable. But that first 10 hours where I was like, oh, I think I like RPGs. I'm just going to give this a try. Ryan recommended it. It's going to be great. And I'm just like mashing my stylus on the touch screen, just being like, fucking die. I hate you guys.
I didn't even realize that game came out on 3DS.
It did. It was very, apparently it was pretty rare. I have this habit of like picking up these games that eventually become rare later on. Like I got Tetris DS the first week, and then the second week, it just the rights expired, so they never reprinted it.
Oh,
So apparently,
really?
that's like a really rare game for the DS. I know that a Spooey would know more about that. In my opinion, it's my favorite version of Tetris ever.
Is that Tetris Worlds?
No, it was called Tetris DS, and its claim to fame was the various like level stylings were based after Nintendo games, so like NES Mario, NES Donkey Kong, Ice Climbers. It also had, it was like the second or third Nintendo Wi-Fi connection game, but it was also, it supported like six player multiplayer at the time.
Yeah, see the entry for it on Amazon. It's people are all proud of that.
if you can ever find a copy, I would recommend it. I wish the rights would get figured out and they'd port it somewhere or make a sequel or something, which actually gets us to the next topic, which I'm just going to bring up now and then talk about what I've been playing. We're going to talk about the WiiWare shutting down, Virtual Console shutting down, all of the Wii's networking services. But before that, I haven't been playing a lot lately. I don't have. It's weird. Like I have the free time to play games, not as much as I used to. But I've been using that time to watch a lot of movies. I watched more than one movie a day in February, which I was pretty happy with.
That's impressive.
I was really like I signed up for Letterboxd.com, and just entering a new entry and every day was like addictive or something. I guess some people have the same issue with anime and my anime list. I read a like an article on that a while ago, where people were just setting the anime to like 1.5x speed and just like plowing through it. And there's this big controversy because the purists were like, "Oh, you can't enjoy the anime as it is intended if you speed through it." But it was like a leaderboard thing. Anyways, I'm getting off track.
That's
So I haven't
really
been playing a lot lately. I beat Mario Odyssey a while ago. I want to kind of go back to that. I don't have a lot of incentive to. I thought it was a really fun game, but for some reason, it didn't grab me as much as the Galaxy games did. I think that's because they like moons are devalued. Like there's 900 in the game or whatever. And it's great when you get like, that endorphin rush from, getting a moon every 2 minutes or whatever. That feels great. And I would say that's probably really good game design. But the flip side of that is that it's not, overall on average, it's not as rewarding to get one of them, obviously. So when I look at like New Donk City and I'm like, okay, I need to get, you know, 100 more moons here, you know, I'm just like, eh. Whereas in prior Mario games, it'd be like, oh, well, this world, you have 3 more stars left to get, you know. So I haven't been playing that as much as I should. I do want to go back to Breath of the Wild. I haven't played it since either of the DLC packs released, and I still haven't beaten it, actually. I'm trying to do more of a completionist run on that game, and I want to get back to it. The only games I have been playing lately are basically Pokemon Go, which, you know, it has the hardcore fans who are still playing, and everybody else who are ask us like, "Oh, you still play that?" But I got the PokeWalker or whatever it's called, Pokemon Go Plus accessory for Christmas, and it was honestly, I've been using it every day since then. The biggest problem I have with the game is that the screen needs to be on in order for it to track distance for you to hatch eggs and whatnot. But this little kind of overpriced $35 Bluetooth thing makes that a non-issue. And I've been playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links, but don't tell anybody.
What platform is that on?
Which one?
Duel Links.
It's on iOS, Android, and Windows PC on Steam.
Oh.
But it's basically like it's the phone aspect ratio. So it's honestly a lot of fun. If anybody listening or any of you guys have played Yu-Gi-Oh, they've changed it so it's like a speed duel format. So duels can take like less than 2 minutes. They have an auto duel option for like NPCs. And I've been having a lot of fun with it. I started to get a little bored with it because I was using a straight beatdown deck, which has like no strategy. But I've been building a more strategic deck where like, oh, if I play this, I can grab this from my deck and then throw this in the graveyard. And that allows me to activate this effect and put these monsters on the field and wipe out my opponent. It's a lot of fun. I'm kind of addicted to it right now. And I actually spent money on it this month, which also don't tell anybody.
Secret safe with us.
Yeah, sure. And the listeners.
And the four other people that are listening.
Right. So yeah, I guess we should talk about the Virtual Console and WiiWare shutting down. Do either of you have any memories, fond memories of either service? I certainly do. Until the Wii U came out, and I was like, oh shit, none of this shit's carrying over, so investing in building up a library is pointless. So after that, I kind of lost all interest in Nintendo digital platforms until about the Switch came out.
Yeah, I've been meaning to do the that Wii transfer thing to Wii U,
mm-hmm.
but that would require me unpacking the Wii out of the box and setting it up on a TV and dealing with all that. And I'm just too lazy to do it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
I've got some games I wouldn't mind just having available. Just like I picked up Solomon's Key off the original Wii Virtual Console, and it was just, you know, this little NES game I'd ever heard of that seemed cute. And that game was cute and it was fun, and then it pissed me off, and I think we stopped playing it. And we got like 40 levels in. And the idea is you know, you can break and make blocks and hop around and avoid the monsters and whatnot. So there's a key hidden in a block, and then you take the key and go to the door and go to the next level.
Wait. I think there was an angry video game nerd about this, right?
I don't know.
It's like really like impossible to figure out the game's secrets or something like that. I don't know.
We got to this one level. We broke every single block on the level. Every single one. There's no key. Until we restart the level, we get to this, look at it, and it's like slightly not symmetric. And so we create a block in one spot to make it symmetric, break the block we just created, and ooh, look, there's the key. That was mean, game. I'm not playing you anymore today.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Yeah, I think that was like 40-something levels in.
Yeah,
and we're just like, man, I'm angry at you right now. I can't play anymore right now.
I would recommend seeing the Angry Video Game Nerd episode on that, because it was pretty funny. If it's the same game I'm thinking about, that kind of like reminds me. I want to go back and play the first two Zeldas, but like especially that first one, like you have to bomb this square and no one tells you about it. Like that kind of game design just really immediately shuts down my interest.
Yeah, it hasn't. I don't know that it's necessarily aged as well as people think. I've tried to play it a couple of times, like on whatever service had it on there. Some way I was playing it, but I was like, man, this is rough. Like, I don't know that I would have the patience for this at whatever age I was when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm glad people liked it and it went on to spawn an entire series.
Mm-hmm.
But man, like, that's rough.
Yeah, I remember when I was like, I must have been like 12 or 13 when Wind Waker came out, and it came with, if you pre-ordered it, you got the bonus disc with like, it was like all the Zelda games up to that point or something like that.
Was that Master Quest disc, I think, for Ocarina of Time?
Yeah, in the Master Quest. So I fired up the first Zelda and I was like, what the fuck is this? That game could honestly use like a top down Link Between World style remake. I'd be fully in support of that. I do think that like these days, maybe not so much today, but like there was a period in like the last 5 years where like everything was tutorialized, every hand was held, and that was honestly I think a bigger problem. But yeah, the other end of the spectrum isn't as appealing either.
Here's the game. Go.
Go.
Right. Wait, what do I press? I don't know what to do.
Right.
Wait, I think there's an A in the corner and a B in the corner, but there's nothing there. I don't know what to do now. I give up.
I've been playing for 5 hours and I still don't have the sword. What the fuck?
Like, I wandered around. I just never found it.
There's like a dungeon I can't find. Yeah. That game would probably be better to go through like a walkthrough. Like I have a problem with that kind of non-game design. Hard games I don't really have a problem with. I loved the first Castlevania game. I had to abandon it and come back to it a few years later to beat it. But it's definitely doable. Kid Icarus is another game where people say it's impossibly hard, but I never found that game to be that hard. Honestly, as long as the game has continues, it's fine by me. You know what game doesn't have fucking continues is Mario Brothers 2 USA. That game's a bitch if you ever go back and play that. I don't know if the All-Stars version added in like checkpoints or something, but the original NES one does not. And it's a struggle.
Wait, are you talking about the Mario Brothers 2 that was released in Japan?
No, the American one.
Doesn't it have continues?
No.
I think it has limited continues.
Or something like that. But I got pretty far in that game on the Wii Virtual Console, and it just sent me back to the start, and I was like, you motherfucker.
Well, I played that game so many times as a kid. Like, I eventually just got to a point where I was just really good at it that it didn't really bother me.
You're so good, Chad. No one can compare.
Well, that's okay, like my favorite Mario Brothers game.
You get two continues in Super Mario 2.
Yeah, fuck that. And fuck that game.
Who are you playing as, Andrix? Like, I'm just curious.
Who was I playing as?
Yeah.
I think I usually opted for Peach just because...
Peach is terrible.
She could cheese over the ledges, and the platforming in that game is so garbage. You need that assist.
You play as Toad and you win.
Yeah, like Toad and Luigi are like pretty good.
I probably did Toad as like a backup. Anyways, I do think the All-Stars version fixed the continue system or something, because I remember having a much better time as a kid with that version of the game. I can't believe that's your favorite Mario. It's so so disappointing.
Yeah, I know. I think World is your favorite, right?
It's a toss. I mean, it depends on if you consider Yoshi's Island a Mario game.
Oh, yeah.
for the sake of discussion, we'll just say no. Yeah, it's for me, it's either World or the first Galaxy.
Well, I bought World when I got my Wii U, and I was having the toughest time playing it because I was playing it just on the gamepad. And then, like, a few months later, I found out that there's, like, a delay in, like,
the game. Oh, yeah. The virtual console on Wii U is pretty bad about lag, I think.
Yeah, and so, like, this entire time, I've been thinking that World is just a bad Mario game because I'm all like, I can't believe I'm this bad at, like, 2D Mario games. I did fine in 2. I did fine in Super Mario Bros. 3. Like, why am I so bad at this game?
Yeah, I that's honestly, like, I probably played Mario World more than any other game, just, like, starting it up and just beating levels. And I have, like, I'm not saying I'm, like, so great or whatever, but, like, I have the exact precise timing of every movement, like, coded into my like, muscle memory. And so, yeah, I tried it out on Wii U as well, and I was like, this is the fucking worst. and it was actually the motivation for me to buy an original Super Nintendo off eBay. Just so I could get that game and Yoshi's Island, which until the SNES classic came out, had never been ported in the original version anywhere. And then a year later, they came out with the classic, so whatever. But yeah, the lag on that game kills me because it's like, if you get in a rhythm with that game, you can pull off some really stylish stuff, just like, you know, twirling, jumping off of, you know, piranha plants and jumping off Yoshi and like caping people and just like flying through the air. It's like a symphony. But if there's any tiny delay, it fucks the entire thing up. So that's probably the only game I'm actually like a hardcore purist about. Like, you really need to play that game on the original system, I think. If you want to like get close to like the skill ceiling on that. But did you ever go back to it, Chad?
No, because once I found out that there was this issue with the Wii U and playing on the gamepad, I was just kind of all like, oh, well, I'm just not going to play this, I guess. Like, I think because it might have come out for, did it come out for 3DS?
I'm sure it's on all the platforms.
I think it's on one of the 3DS platform with their Super Nintendo offering.
Yeah, but I'm down a new 3DS. I went back to just having the regular 2DS. So
what?
Yeah. Wait,
the non-clamshell one, the doorstopper?
Yeah. I had that really nice Fire Emblem Fates new 3DS, and I liked the design of the system, but just the screen resolution was that screen door effect on the 3DS screen is just, I just couldn't deal with it. And so I was just like, this hardware is so beautiful. I want to play it. But every time I turn on the screen, I'm just all like, this is bad.
Yeah, it's definitely like, I still haven't beaten the original Pokemon Moon. And I know I want to, but it's just like going back, you know, after the Switch, going back to that, it's rough. It's rough. Mm-hmm. Even in like, I mean, I'm sure you commented on it at the time, but even when the system came out, it was like really low spec.
Yeah, and it's weird because the DS also had like a low resolution screen, but for some reason it didn't really matter. I think it's just a combination of them adding that 3D effect to it just made the resolution like way, way worse.
Yeah, I definitely know what you're talking about. The screen door effect is definitely more noticeable, even if you have 3D off. Plus, I mean, all the XL versions don't really help the pixels per inch either.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Is anyone here gonna try and add more points to their account for the Wii Virtual Console tonight, or are we're all signing off on that?
I think we're pretty well done with that.
Yeah.
I was gonna say my favorite memory of the Wii Virtual Console is the eShop music. Like,
oh, that's
like all the remixes from that, especially the the Drake, the Hotline Bling one are just amazing.
I've never heard of that. You need to link it in the thread. Maybe that'll be the intro music if I decide to do that. Okay, I think we're actually, we prattled on a little too long, but we can keep going a little bit further. Sea of Thieves is out this week, and not getting that good a reception. Chad, you have an Xbox One, right?
Yes. I never use it. Well, I'm not going to say what I use it for. I shouldn't go into it, but
I think that said everything.
Like, there's just no real energy around the Xbox One, and they've lost so much momentum around it. Like, I didn't even buy Cuphead for it. Like, even when exclusives come out for it that I know are good, I'm just like, everything around the system, the user interface, the updates, Kinect not working well, just make me not want to even bother to turn it on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have one. I'm actually like in the prime market for one just because I'm looking to get either an Xbox or a PlayStation 4 for like Monster Hunter World and Evil Within 2 and that kind of those games that I like. But there's like, aside from, I know a surprisingly large amount of people online and in real life that have Xbox Ones. I think they bought it at the start and were just like, oh, it's going to be 360 2.0. But other than that, there's like no incentive for me to go with Xbox, honestly. Like, the I've seen some pretty terrible first party support for systems, but this is like, this is pretty unheard of for like as big a company Microsoft is.
Well, it's not just first party, it's also third party. Like, one of the reasons why I was so frustrated with my Xbox One was I bought Sonic Mania on there, and it's the only platform where there are frame rate issues. Like, even the Switch version runs better. And it all came down to, it just seemed like for indie developers, when they're prioritizing platforms, Xbox gets the least prioritization.
That's crazy, especially because they had like the 360 was like the first game indies could really publish their games on, you know, back in the day. It's crazy how much, and Nintendo was like the hardest, and now Nintendo's like best buddies with the indie community. It's crazy.
Yeah, but the first party situation, to me, I really just think it comes down to they don't really care. And I really feel like people need to stop giving Microsoft slack. You know, they've been a gaming platform, at least with their own console, for 17 years now.
Yeah. Like,
that's what got me really upset when the Polygon story came out about Microsoft buying studios to, you know, expand their first party offerings. I'm like, this isn't 2001.
Right.
You know, they shouldn't be focused on buying another studio success. They need to dedicate themselves to building new studios, creating new IP.
Yeah, it's crazy when you say it like that. Like, think about like when the NES launched, like 17 years after that, the stable of franchises and characters Nintendo was able to build up. And they make it look so easy, but then, you know, Microsoft's there to be like, remind us that I guess it isn't always easy. I definitely agree that they just don't care for whatever reason. They don't see it as like a marketable asset to have exclusive first party games for whatever reason. I will say the one nice thing Microsoft is doing is that I think most or all of their first party games lately are PC and Xbox, but that also like goes back to like, why would you get an Xbox? You know?
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, I definitely think that it's hard to create a first-party portfolio.
For sure.
But you can look at Sony, and Sony has fallen on their face with more games like Heavenly Sword and things like Killzone and smaller stuff like Folklore than they've had success with games like Uncharted and Horizon and Gran Turismo. Mm-hmm. But to me, it just feels like Microsoft is doing just the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm. I think what also didn't help Microsoft is that they they or Rare themselves just fucked up Rare. Like, yeah. That should have been, like, if you go back and, like, adjust. Sorry about that. If you go back and, like, adjust the amount they bought Rare for, it's, like, fucking insane. Like, you look at, like, what Rare produced immediately after that, and then, like, in the 10-year sense, it's, like, it wasn't even worth, like, 5% of what they paid for them, you know?
Yeah. And I've always kind of said this, so I was all like, I don't think Nintendo would have let Rare go if they saw, like, a future vision for Rare continuing to make really good games.
Right. Yeah, for whatever, like, I think a big part of it was the Stamper Brothers or whoever founded Rare. I think there might have been some, like, behind-the-scenes drama where they didn't like being under Nintendo's foot or whatever and being told which games to make. Which, you know, if Microsoft's offering you a bunch of cash and potentially freedom to do your own thing, I can understand making that decision. But yeah, from Nintendo's point of view, they must have been like, dodged a fucking bullet there. I do hope, I don't think Retro has the pedigree it once had. Not game quality wise, just like, you know, it's not like Retro. I think what they need to get that back is, you know, an original IP, and I hope Nintendo lets them pursue that.
I mean, is anybody really looking forward to another Donkey Kong game? So, I mean, like, I don't get what they would make at this point. And since they're not making Metroid Prime 4, like,
right. Yeah, you say that. So, even with everything I just said about, I hope they can make their own IP. I will say the Metroid Prime fans who hated on the Donkey Kong games, fuck those guys, because the Donkey Kong games are excellent platformers, and I've honestly never been that much of a Metroid Prime fan, so double fuck y'all.
I think we should just have a world where we have both.
Yeah, I mean,
good Donkey Kong platformers and some more Metroid that I will eventually get into.
Yes. Thankfully, the Switch is getting both. It's getting a port of Tropical Freeze in May. Which I never finished that on the Wii U. I got to, like, the last world, and then I got distracted probably by Mario Kart or something. Never finished it. So I'm looking forward to replaying that. And we are getting Prime 4, which probably isn't going to be out this year. I'd be surprised if it comes out this year. It seems more like a 2019 game. But who knows?
Well, fortunately, there's a plenty of stuff coming out later this year if that Nindy showcase is anything to put your trust in.
Yes. I didn't watch it, but the games that came out of it were pretty good.
Mark of the Ninja.
Yes.
If you haven't played that, you're not my friend anymore.
Oh, I haven't played it, but
that
I
game
don't think
is fantastic.
We weren't friends in the first place, so.
That's true. it seriously is like the best ninja game.
Speaking of Switch indies, just side note, my good developer friend, Jules Watcham, who co-founded Renegade Kid and Atui, and who is responsible for Mutant Muds and CO Drifter, he launched a Kickstarter earlier this month for a Switch version of the 3DS game Chicken Wiggle. And that's a very funny name, but it's also a very cool looking game. It's basically Mario Maker. It's a 2D retro platformer where you can create and share your own levels. It comes with, you know, a bunch of professionally designed levels built in. The Switch version is getting HD art, and if it hits a stretch goal, I think they're going to bring in Grant Kirkhope to do some of the music, bringing it back to Retro's Donkey Kong games. He was the fantastic composer behind those. Although they did bring in David Wise for some of Tropical Freeze, I think. Anyways, I just wanted to point that out. It looks like it's going to make it. There's like a week left. I just really hope it does, because he launched a Kickstarter a couple of years ago for a first-person horror game that didn't quite make it, and that kind of broke my heart. So If it interests you, go check it out. I'm going to post a thread on it on the forum tonight now that I remembered it.
Zeo Drifter is a good but short little game, and if you like that, I will vouch for that game.
Yes, I got that on 3DS. I've been meaning to get it on Switch, but yeah, it's like a very nice little bite-sized Metroid game. There's no real hiding that it's basically a Metroid game. Like you're playing a person in a suit with a blaster going to alien worlds and fighting bosses and unlocking things based on the weapon upgrades you get. So it's basically Metroid. If you're looking for a Metroid game, a 2D Metroid game, check out Zeo Drifter. I agree with that. I think the last topic we're going to talk about tonight, I don't know how long it's going to take us to talk about it. The new Tomb Raider movie came out. And it's basically the Tomb Raider reboot, but in live action, from what I understand.
That's what it looks like, just having seen just the ads.
Honestly, it looks, as far as video game adaptation goes, it looks really good. The only reason I'm even thinking about it right now is because they had an amazing trailer that I saw when I was seeing Black Panther, where they cut it to like an edgy, moody version of like Survivor by Destiny's Child. and it worked so well that it actually piqued my interest. And I guess that's good marketing, or maybe I'm brainwashed. I don't know.
Maybe a little bit.
Did anyone here play that Tomb Raider game back in the day?
I own it, but I've never played it. So I got it on Xbox Game with Golds. But I mean, it looked cool. It's just, to me, it's like Uncharted kind of has a special place in my heart. And it kind of like Uncharted kind of took the crown from Tomb Raider. But I still like wish that game all the best. Like I still love Crystal Dynamics for everything they did for Soul Reaver. So
that's another game that needs a reboot soon.
Yeah, it really does.
Wasn't there like a whole rights thing with, was it Silicon Knights or whatever?
I think there was, but I don't think that they are actively pursuing anything. Like, I don't.
Well, I don't think, is Silicon Knights even still around? I think they're gonzo.
What's his name? I forget his name.
Dyack.
Dyack. I know he was still doing his little podcast. Because when NeoGAF imploded, I watched the episode that he did. So I think he's still podcasting with some guy, and they're working on something.
We should, next week, remind me to talk about the whole NeoGAF thing, because I have kind of, I was able to, like, watch that as it happened. It's pretty funny. I think Tomb Raider-wise, it leaked, but then they announced it. The new one is coming out this year. I forget what the name of it is. It's like something of the Tomb Raider.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see more at E3. I don't think any of us here have a lot of interest for it, but who knows?
Yeah, actually, something just dawned on me. Now that Uncharted's over with, I probably should give Tomb Raider another look.
You say that, but then, you know, next year, Uncharted 5, maybe, you know.
No, it's 4 had an ending that kind of, it wrapped everything up.
You know, Ryan would say Infamous 2 had an ending that wrapped everything up.
Well, Infamous Second Son is a completely different character. Oh. I guess I could with
Uncharted. Spoilers or not, you know, doesn't he get together with a lady at the end? And so there's like son or daughter potential there. Yeah, I'm just saying, who knows what the future holds? They brought Halo back. They're bringing Metroid Prime back. They brought Infamous back. If it makes money and people know the name, like honestly, that's what it is these days. And same thing for movies. Like if people know the name of it, like, oh, Karate Kid, like, oh, green light, reboot, let's do it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would hope Sony would not make another Uncharted game, because even getting four and not having Amy Henning directing it was a little bit weird. So, I mean, it really needs to go off into the sunset.
I will say I was surprised when they announced four. I was less cynical about things back then, because it did seem like three was poised to like be the trilogy ender, and also Naughty Dog always starts over when a new Sony system comes out, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess they jumped the gun a little bit with Last of Us, which was also on PS3. So they're like, we can do another sequel to Uncharted. Why not?
Yeah.
Speaking of, did I dream or imagine that there's a second Last of Us coming out?
Oh, yeah. No, it's coming out.
It's coming out.
Okay. Have they shown anything on that? Like, who's the characters or anything?
Yeah, it's the girl from the original one. She's a little bit grown up. She's like more of a, like maybe around 16 now. They showed a trailer at Paris Games Week last year, and people were really upset because it was very gruesome, like body, like you can see like bones getting broken in somebody's arm. And
awesome.
Yeah, it was very, it was kind of like that, that season opener from The Walking Dead. With the, oh God, I cannot remember his name.
Rick, Carl, Michonne, Daryl.
No, the guy with the baseball bat.
Negan,
yeah. Like that very brutal opening scene. It kind of had that similar tone to it.
Did I, you read The Walking Dead comics, right?
I stopped once they got to the prison.
So you didn't see Lori getting gunned down and then falling on top of her daughter and killing her?
I don't know why I'm laughing, but
hope nobody was reading that.
I mean, if we're talking about brutality, I don't think the show comes close to the comics. And honestly, I bailed out of the comics shortly after. So the whole Negan, beating scene from the show happens in the comics, but it's Glenn who dies because of that in issue 100. And I think I checked out right after that. It just felt like they're going through the motions, and like every new arc was the same. We're like, oh, we found this new place and we can be a real society again. And then some villain who was worse than the last one somehow shows up and is like, fuck you, I'm getting it. So just got very repetitive.
Honestly, I checked out when, I think his name is Robert Kirkman. He said that he's never going to reveal the origin of the virus. And at that point I was all like, I don't really care. Like, I want to know how it all led to this.
I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is his other statement where he said, if this is popular, I'm going to keep doing it forever.
Oh God.
So I was like, well, if you're not really planning on like a satisfying conclusion, why am I invested? You know, I dropped out of the show after season three, just because there's so much filler, you know.
Like when we die, there'll still be one piece in The Walking Dead in some form.
Right. It will be the literal Walking Dead. okay, I think we went over my half hour guideline, but that's totally fine. This was
back to live celebration.
Yes, I think it's fine for this episode to be a little extra large or whatever. But thank you guys for showing up. This has been great. Reminded me of why I love doing these things in the first place.
Ooh.
And we had to celebrate. It was episode 69.
Yeah. Nice. Before we go, I just want to say, I want to say thank you guys. Thank you two specifically, but also anybody listening and the entire forum. I don't get everything right all the time. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, I'm trying to be the best shepherd of our community that I can. And sometimes I make decisions that don't tend to work out. Needless to say, you know, we moved to Slack, we're moving back from Slack in less than a year. But I want to thank everybody for putting up with me and just continuing to hang out all these years. You know, this month is fucking 10 years since the site launched. Different name, different platform. Back then there was no forum, there was just a chat box, but it's still the same community. You know, G4 has come and gone since since we started. But we're still around, and you know, I just want to say thank you guys for that.
Well, thank you. I know sometimes you might be beating yourself up, but I think coming from me personally, I kind of feel like your heart's always in the right place. And ultimately, overall, I think you kind of take good care of us.
Aw, thank you, Chad. I do think like I got really lucky that our community is as awesome as it is. I've joined a lot of forums in my lifetime.
I know how that feels.
This is the only one. There's one other one that's a little more populated, but they're a lot meaner, but they have the same like lack of overbearing moderation. I really like how we really do feel like we know each other. You know, obviously a bunch of new blood would be good, but we'd have to be careful about like getting them, you know, acquainted with the forum and the rules and the guidelines and that kind of thing. But the fact that like, honestly, the site has needed no supervision basically the entire time I've run it. There's like maybe one or two bad actors over the last 10 years that I had to step in and do something about. I just think that's incredible.
Although bad actors need to step in, I kind of miss Trish.
She's been gone for like 8 years.
I hope she's doing okay.
You were saying?
I was just kind of wondering because it almost kind of seemed like she had some emotional issues, and I couldn't tell if she was just trolling or if there was like some other stuff that was going on in her life.
Trish is weird because like after she joined and got suspended and then came back, we were like, oh, Trish something or other. And she's like, my name's not even fucking Trish or something. I'm like, well, okay. She seemed to be like a sort of a troll in the same vein as like, you know, 4chan users sometimes are. I hope Axel, you know, is doing okay. I forget. Axel and Trish and them, that group had also had a forum.
The online DS community.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's probably still up. I think I actually went there like 6 months ago.
Oh, nice. I'm glad they're doing pretty well. I think I've said all I can tonight. I'm out of platitudes. But thank you guys, and hopefully, with any luck, we'll be back here next Sunday night to record the same thing. Well, not the same thing, but like a new episode. You know what
I mean. Everyone remember what you said.
I'm gonna print out like a transcript of everything we said tonight, and we're just gonna like read it back. That'd be terrible. Although next Sunday is April 1st, who knows?
It could be like Pop Team Epic. We'll just replay the second half, just a replay of the first half with different voice actors.
So I don't want to start a new discussion, but I want to get into that show. But the show is so popular, it's like it's off-putting how popular it is.
It's like the Japanese Rick and Morty in a way.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah, except I wasn't able to get in on Pop Team Epic before it was cool. So that's why I hate it.
Yeah. I really love Pop Team Epic. It's like one of the best shows I've ever watched in past 5 years. I don't really know why I love it so much, but I just do.
Is it better than Lucky Star?
Yes.
Shit, I was going to say something. Oh, if you like comedy slash like postmodern comedy ish kind of, but like spliced in with like nudity and fart jokes. Mr. Osomatsu on Crunchyroll is a good watch. I recommend that. It makes me laugh every single episode, and it's on its second season right now. Give that one a watch. It's about how do I explain it? In the 60s, there was this very formulaic black and white anime called Osomatsu Chan. And it was about six sextuplets and like their wacky hijinks or whatever. And then they brought it back for the 50th anniversary 2 years ago. And all the kids, the sextuplets, grew up to be like 20-somethings, but they're all virgins and they still live with their parents and they're all like, you know, worthless losers.
Well, I'll it's a good time. Better shot since I'm about 4 years from being removed from being a worthless loser. So I now can look back at that point in my life and laugh at it.
Don't worry, Chad. We were laughing at you the whole time.
Oh, God.
With you. Sorry. With you.
Sure.
Actually, I didn't know that. Congrats.
Thanks.
It's 4 years late, but congrats. I couldn't think of a better spot to end the podcast. So everybody say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
See you next week.